Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the program. It's Chris Moore on the radio with you, and glad you are joining us. Hold your calls, if you will. We'll get to Open Talk in an hour. We have guests in the first hour of our program. For the next half hour, we're going to talk to Bob Keith. He is executive director of E2, and he's here to talk about the impact of our own governor, Tom Wolf's regional greenhouse gas initiative. Now that it survived an attempt of veto override by the legislature. Bob, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Oh, man, I'm great, Chris. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it being with you in KDKA.
All right. A lot of people don't seem to take climate change as seriously. Is our governor taking it seriously enough with this greenhouse gas initiative?
Well, he sure is. This is a great first step to solving a very big and costly problem, Chris. That's the problem of climate change. And, you know, a lot of times we think of climate change as an environmental issue. We think of it as a social issue. But I'm here to tell you climate change is an economic issue, Chris, and it's impacting every single one of us.
How so?
You know? Well, look, last year, the United States suffered through about $145 billion in damage from climate-related disasters. We're talking about hurricanes in the east. We're talking about fires in the west. We're talking about drought and flooding in our nation's heartland. Look at what Hurricane Ida did in Pennsylvania last year, just September of last year. Flooded buildings, businesses, homes all throughout the state. In Pittsburgh, all the way to Philly, and then beyond. It was one of the worst storms that we've seen in a long time in this country. And by the way, if you remember, that was one of about three tropical storms that hit Pennsylvania and the Northeast in 3 weeks' time last year.
So, but some people say that's just weather. That's not climate change. It's not caused by climate change. What would you say to them?
Well, I'd say, look at what's been happening over the past 20 years, and if you haven't experienced the climate disaster, you're a lucky one, because about one in four Americans now have live in an area that was impacted by a climate-related event in the past year. Look, this stuff is happening more and more, and we all know that, and if we can't see that, we only have to turn to science, and science shows us that the number of climate-related weather events are increasing horribly. Just this past week, the United Nations came out with a report, Chris, that you may have seen, that says climate change is heading is putting our planet on a track for irreparable damage. We're not going to get out of this unless we do something about it.
But that report suggested some solutions that said it's not too late. It's getting late, but it's not too late that we could change some things. What needs to be done, in your opinion?
Well, we need to quit saying it's not too late, for one thing. We need to get moving on this. We need to get moving on this with things like Reggie in Pennsylvania. We need to get our lawmakers in Congress in Washington, D.C. to pass the $2 trillion package that's sitting in the Senate right now that would expand clean energy, would expand clean vehicles, would make energy more efficient, and in turn reduce the price and the cost that we pay with our monthly electric bills every month. And by the way, create a whole lot of jobs doing that.
I read an article the other day that said in the Arctic that the temperatures have increased 70 degrees over what they were a couple of years ago. That's downright frightening with all that ice melt and what it means for coastal and low-lying island nations, isn't it?
You bet. You bet. But look, this is, we've seen this for a long time in a place like the Arctic and low-lying islands and communities around the world. But look, we're seeing it in Pennsylvania right now, Chris. I mean, I mentioned last year we had $145 billion worth of damage across the country. In Pennsylvania, that was more than $2 billion last year. When it all's added up after Ida cleanup, it's probably going to be closer to $5 billion. That's not me saying that. That's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Agency, NOAA, saying that. And over the past 5 years, climate-related damage in Pennsylvania has averaged about $1.2 billion a year. That somebody's got to pay for that. And guess who it is? It's businesses, it's consumers, and it's taxpayers. It's me and you and everybody listening to this show.
Well, why is it that it's so hard to get people to see what you're saying, that we're all going to be impacted by this?
I wish I knew. For one thing, we're up against folks in the incumbent industries, mainly the fossil fuel industry, who want to preserve the businesses they've had for more than 100 years in this country, and that has been subsidized by the government for more than 100 years in this country. And look, that's understandable. They need to be in business. But they can't continue to do the things that they've been doing all this time without figuring out how to pay for it.
So why should government be involved? So why should government be involved?
Because we see what happens if it's not. We see those temperatures rising in the Arctic. We see these costs increasing all over the place. Look, when we have a problem that is expansive as climate change has become, Chris, and when we have to really transition industries as large as the energy industry that drives this country, or for that matter, our means of transportation for the past 100, 150 years. Those are big changes. And government has to be a part of that. The government was a part of it when we switched from whale oil to steam in this country. Government was involved when we electrified rural parts of the country. Government was involved when we expanded this nation from the East Coast to the West Coast with the railroads and the highways. This is a big deal, and it's not something, unfortunately, that business has been able to or has been willing to do on its own.
So then how do we address the problem from here? Because and this may be just tangentially related to this, but I see all these articles about food shortages. I see the war in Ukraine. Ukraine and Russia are not planting the kind of wheat that some call the MENA countries, the Middle East and North Africa, that there may be famine in our future worldwide. I know there's famine in parts of the world right now, but there may be more famine in our future worldwide. Could it lead to that kind of dystopian future?
Well, look, I mean, we've been talking about the cost of damage from storms like Hurricane Ida and other things, but that's just part of the cost, right? That doesn't include costs like increased food costs as farmers have to struggle with drought or flooding, or you and I and others have to pay rising insurance rates because it's costing insurance companies so much to rebuild after these storms. It's the cost of the military when our bases, our installations get hammered by storms or flooding like they did in North Carolina and Florida and Nebraska over the past few years. It caused tens of billions of dollars worth of taxpayer damages. You ask why the government needs to get involved. That's one of the reasons right there, by the way. But look, to me, it's kind of like if you don't put a fresh coat of paint on your house, or if you put off fixing your roof for a couple hundred years, and then the worst storms you've ever seen or could imagine start to roll in and the forecast calls for more. The longer you put off addressing this problem, the more costly it becomes. And so that's what we're dealing with right now, and that's why we need lawmakers in Harrisburg and in Washington, D.C., to do exactly what you were saying earlier and start doing something about this rather than just sitting back and watching the paint peel and hoping for the best.
All right, we're talking with Bob Keefe. He is the executive director of E2. By the way, what is E2?
E2 is a national organization, Chris, of business owners, investors, and others who are business people who care about the environment and care about the economy. We've got about 11,000 business leaders who work or do business in every state across the country, and they realize that if we don't do something about climate change, it's gonna continue to hammer our economy. The good news is they also see that by doing something about climate change, by increasing clean energy, by increasing clean vehicles, by reducing energy costs through energy efficiency, it's good for business. It's good for America's economy. It's good for our national security. So that's what our members believe in, and that's what they do.
All right. Bob Keefe is our guest. He is executive director of E2. He just explained to you what it is. You can join us at any time by dialing 1-866-391-1020. I'm Chris Moore. We have one more segment with him, and we'll continue in just a moment. KDK Radio News Time, 518. We're talking to Bob Keefe of E2 about climate change. You say it's important for government and business to be involved. Can we do this hand in hand? Are businesses coming along now with what government wants? And how important is this stimulus legislation in Washington? You talk with lawmakers there all the time, don't you?
I do quite a bit. Well, look, I mean, we're all in this together, Chris. I mean, it's businesses, it's government, it's individuals. The good news is that business is beginning to see the light. Business is understanding that we need to do something about the economic cost of climate change, and they're realizing that because they realize the economic benefits of action. I mean, when companies have to close their offices because of storms and hurricanes and things like that, and they can't do business, that costs them money. I was talking to a good E2 member, a member of my organization in New Orleans the other day, who basically said he's in the restaurant business, and he basically has had to shut down his restaurant so many times because of hurricanes and flooding that he doesn't know what to do. And it's really cutting into his business. Now, if you look at the other side of things, the fastest growing jobs in America right now and some of the fastest growing businesses have been businesses in clean energy, and solar and wind and energy efficiency. And then look at things like the auto industry in America, the backbone of America, right?
Ford is saying they're going to be all electric by, 2050, aren't they?
Well, it's not just Ford. It's every single automaker in America, and most of them overseas, are shifting to electric vehicles.
But what about the batteries in those vehicles? Won't they pollute too?
Well, that's a good point. We got to do something. We got to do something to clean up those batteries. But I'll tell you what, by not burning the fossil fuels to drive what we're driving right now, it's going to make a huge difference.
All right. You got a book coming out about the economics of climate change, don't you?
I do. And I appreciate that. And that's what it's called. It's called Climatenomics. It's called Climatenomics, Washington, Wall Street, and the Economic Battle to Save Our Planet. And Chris, you know, this is basically a compilation of what I've heard over the years from lawmakers, from businesses, from business people, and watching the dramatic growth in the cost of climate change to our economy and seeing the incredible benefits that we have.
All right. We only have a few more minutes, so let's get a couple of calls in. We'll start with Ted in Mount Washington. Ted, you're on with Bob O'Keefe.
What's going on, Bob Keefe?
I put an O in there. I'm sorry. Bob Keefe.
That's all right.
Hey, Ted, how you doing? Still learning.
Yeah, there you go. Real quick, sir. Look, I agree with you to a point, but if you go to, you look at the Europeans, they went with green energy, and they got burnt by the Russians. The one thing I wish our guys understand, war is also bad for the environment. And I'll be honest. Even what you're saying, I understand it, but to scale that technology, you're going to leave huge gaps in this country. And the technology is just not there. Look what happened in Texas when the windmills stopped, when it froze. You got people killed. So I understand what you're saying, but this is no way I could buy into fully gone green. There's no way. The technology is just not there.
All right, let him answer, Bob.
Well, I appreciate that, and that's a good point. We got to think realistically here. But let me ask you this: how long have we had cell phones? It ain't been that long. How long have we had the internet? How long have we had wireless? How long have we had electric vehicles? And think about how quickly those technologies ramped up. You know, in a different life, I was a journalist, and I covered technology. I covered Silicon Valley, and I watched the rise of Google. I watched the rise of companies like Salesforce and Apple and everything else. And one thing that I learned is that you should never doubt the exponential growth of technology and how quickly that can happen.
You're right. My first cell phone I still have, it looks like a brick compared to the one I have right now.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, we were talking about it, but
I'll be honest, you know, if you think technology is going to save us, I doubt it. I mean, I'll just be honest. I mean, you look at what's going on with the wars, man. Right? No one thought that, you know, that Europe would be at war with itself. And you see the devastation of that. And that's what I'm saying. Right. You know, and we do need to switch over, but I think we should be smart about it and also stop demonizing oil and gas. Work together to solve the solution.
All right. No doubt. Thank you, Chad. Bob, a quick answer to that?
Well, no doubt. And look, the war in Europe is devastating and horrifying. And think about one of the biggest problems that Europe is facing right now is getting enough petroleum and being shackled to Russian oil and gas. Fortunately, in America, we're less so than that. But look, we need to get off of this stuff and move on to things that's not going to keep us shackled to countries that are run by dictators.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Gloria in Mercer, you're on KDK with Bob Keith.
Hi.
As
long as China, Russia, and India are not on board with climate change, we're just spinning our wheels. We're going to reach a maximum point, and pollution is still going to be coming because they're not on board. China's importing coal big time because they're making coal-fired power plants in China. And until, you know, they get on board, we're just spinning our wheels in a lot of ways. And I agree with the previous caller. You got to quit demonizing oil and gas.
All right, Bob, what do you say? Are we spinning our wheels as long as China, one of the biggest polluters, doesn't get on board?
Well, the good news is they're getting on board, and so is every other country. If you remember something called the Paris Agreement, that was every country, including Russia, by the way, and including other countries, that was every country in the world signed on to agree to take steps to reduce their carbon emissions by expanding clean energy and cutting back on carbon-producing oil and gas and other types of energy. So countries are coming on board. They're not coming on fast enough. And we need to make sure that they live up to their obligations that they're making, including the United States, for that matter.
Well, I'd like to see some work on, you know, coal fusion, hydrogen cars, because these EVs.
No doubt.
I think they're a fallacy.
Well, no doubt. Look, we need everything we can get, I think.
All right. Thank you, Gloria.
Thank you.
And the good news is, because of what we were talking about earlier, Gloria and Chris and others, technology and innovation in America. Nobody out innovates the United States of America. We have the opportunity to expand our clean energy and clean transportation resources in many ways.
Bob, let me echo some of the callers a little bit here. I've interviewed a number of energy experts, or at least they call themselves that, and they say for the time being, not only will we need green energy, we're going to need nuclear. The most dangerous way to boil water, in my opinion. We're going to need all sorts of fossil fuels and the rest in a package to supply America's energy needs. Do you ever foresee a day where we will be, I guess, on the plus side in terms of using more green energy rather than fossil fuels?
I absolutely do see that because it's happening right now. I happen to be in the state of California, where over the past couple of weeks, we've generated more energy from renewables than we have from anything else. And a good number of states in this country now are going to 100% clean energy, 100% renewable energy, because it can be done.
Is there a website where people can go and learn more about E2?
You bet. Then go to E2.org, E2.org.
All right. And when your book comes out, I hope you'll come back and visit with us again.
Well, I'd love to do that, and I'd be grateful for that, Chris. And you can find out more about that at climatenomicsbook.com. I've interviewed a lot of folks from Pennsylvania to Washington, D.C., and every other part of this country about what they see coming, and hopefully they're right when they say that we can move to a cleaner economy pretty quickly.
All right. Bob Keefe, Executive Director of E2, thank you for your time and your expertise, sir.
Thank you, Chris. I really appreciate it.
All right. I'm Chris Moore. Our program will continue in a moment. We'll talk a little bit about early childhood education and the importance of it.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.